It is noise pollution here in Studio A in CITR 101.9 FM. You just heard Chris Horrific's show, but now we are going to go on a sonic adventure and talk about some things, divulge some secrets of the noise pollution kind. So sit in, strap in. If you're listening in your car, I hope you're buckled up. If you're listening at home, I hope you're chilling. And the sun just came out. And what are your names? I think that's a good start.
Yeah, my name's Cyrus, but I guess artist name would be Crowbar.
I'm Emerson. My artist name right now is just my Instagram handle, Immersion. So, yeah, that's that.
I'm Elisa, and my artist, like, alias is Message Received.
Nice. I want to start off by asking you guys, what is your favorite noise and what is your favorite kind of pollution?
I think
what's your favorite noise and favorite pollution?
Favorite noise, that one's super easy for me. I think just like feedback droning is, you know, like that's very overwhelming for me. I love it, you know, when the pedals pick up, you know, the mic or sorry, the amp and just keeps creating that loop. It reminds me a lot, like I lived near the airport growing up, so just hearing the droning of the planes come by. So, yeah, every time I hear that, I still get, you know, goosebumps. Yeah, pollution-wise, I don't know.
Well, that I guess that is a type of pollution also.
Yeah,
I
guess it is.
That's two birds in one stone.
Yeah, it is literally noise pollution.
That's the perfect, perfect interview answer.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, my favorite noise, I'm a big fan of a lot of those like synth organs that you would hear in like 60s, 70s jazz. I don't know if favorite is necessarily like my go-to for that, but like it's consistently been like a very highly liked one. Yeah, and in terms of pollution, I guess I would say light pollution, but I'm not a fan of that. I like to look at the sky. But I don't know. The kind that boats emit where it, like, actually makes the atmosphere reflective so that climate change is not as bad. I think that one at least has some functionality to it.
Yeah. You're utilitarian.
Favorite noise? Probably, like the Glen Branca kind of thing. You have, like, a lot of guitars playing at the same time.
Mm. You love Glen Branca. You were playing, like, three hours of Glen Branca.
Shit's so good. He has, like... Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. He has like a guitar and like all six strings are the same and he hits it and it's like, it's so dumb, but it's so good. Harsher noise sound would probably be like anything super like distorted and like tape soundy. So it's like degraded. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like you could do a lot of really artistic, cool stuff with that. Something I try to do in like a lot of my own live stuff recently is I've like tried to use the delay to replicate the sound of like multiple guitars. Still trying to like perfect that, but yeah. Favorite kind of pollution? The one I'm most used to is air pollution. I grew up like in like a super terribly polluted place and I think my lungs are actually invincible now, so nice. Straight up.
You have like a superpower.
I can breathe anything. I can breathe water, I can breathe dirt. I can breathe.
You can breathe.
I can breathe bass. I can breathe bass. Emerson said bass.
I said bass.
Bass. Oh, too bad. No, you didn't.
Okay. Not anymore. Say my favorite noise is, I think I'm biased, but I love radio static.
That's a good one.
Because, I'm always like, when there's radio static, I'm always like, oh, it's like God is like God is like interfering at CITR. It's like,
yeah,
I heard God in CITR yesterday, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think a good one actually is like, or one that I like a lot related to that is when you're between two stations and you can kind of hear like the in and outs of both ones.
That's really
good. Oh, Lady was doing during the Goats and Blazers.
Loved that part of the set. That was
really good. I was just looking up at the trees during that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we should probably try and explain a bit.
Yes.
let's give context.
Yeah. So you can take it away or I can field questions if we need to.
As to what noise pollution is? Or...
Yeah,
I feel
yeah.
like questions is fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Should we give some context first, though?
I think the context questions.
Okay, sure.
Where might people find the pollution of noise. Without talking about.
For legal reasons, I don't think we can ever tell you exactly.
You can smoke in mirrors. Yeah. I love a good smoke in mirrors. A good riddle.
In nature.
Yeah.
In nature.
You find it in nature many times.
In the forest.
Yes.
If you dig a little hole underground, we're there.
Yeah, if you dig far enough, you actually don't end up to the other side of the world or the core. You end up at noise pollution.
Yeah.
We own all the caves in the world.
You can go spelunking.
Yeah.
Go inside. Inside the deep cave of noise pollution.
And we found emeralds.
Do you guys spend much time in the forest? How did the idea come about? Like, were you outdoors when you thought of doing
an
outdoor thing?
Definitely not. I think it was a yearning for the outdoors.
Yeah.
That
okay.
Actually, in this building.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No. A lot of this. Yeah. For me, I think a large amount of the motivation or the urge to create an event that sort of forces us to indulge ourselves in, nature and these like much more immediate sounds comes from that time where I was living in a, mega city. I was living in Seoul, Korea, and there wasn't much like nature that wasn't like all trimmed and fancy. And, it was really hard to just find spaces to like isolate yourself and really get lost in music. Right. And I think as soon as I came back to Vancouver, I sort of I was born and raised in Vancouver, but I didn't really appreciate the fact that we have, this beautiful nature, and we have also such a cool scene that, is super down for that more raw form of art, right? That DIY stuff. So, this felt like, I think, the natural connection between the two. And, Emerson and I, we have, I wouldn't say extremely different music tastes, but we definitely have different artists and genres that we listen to. But despite our, different artists that we listen to, I think this felt like a natural space.
Yeah, there's
to
a lot of
fill.
I think similarities despite the differences, because I think like in terms of like genre and artist differences, like that's I think like one of the more minor things that can, because I feel like genres aren't real in a sense, like I think a lot of it is based on how people approach music, and I think the approach of music being similar is like really what made this possible in a lot of ways, because it's a lot of like improvisational shit mainly, and like having to improvise this sort of thing is very different than having to write something out and then recite it and then make it muscle memory. It's like it's a very different sort of approach to it. I was actually talking to one of my friends about this yesterday after the set, that I think in the future I'm probably going to more focus on improvisation, because last night I tried to set it up a bit more and like practice a few things, but I think that almost like took away from like the type of expression that I was going for, because it's very different to have to be thinking about how something sounds and think about how you want it to sound and how you practice it and then play that at the same time as thinking about it versus just thinking about what you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's two types of attention, I guess, is how mm-hmm. I would process it. And like, I don't know how you feel about that, but that's at least like how I process it.
No, 100%.
Yeah, I think there's similarities in some of the approaches there.
I mean, we can just look back to the very first jam session we had in the BVP room, right? And like we mentioned, like genre-wise and technical skills-wise, we're very, very different. But just sitting in that room in absolute silence, like Emerson set up their gear, right? Lights were very dim, and just like sort of playing in this like fully improvisational way with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, that for was, like I think, the moment that was like, we sat down afterwards by Sprouts and we're like, we got something cool going on here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were like, now this is epic.
And I think the other really special thing too is like this is a sort of event that I've been like wanting to do for years. Like I've been talking about this for years to lots of my friends. and like, yeah, I don't know too many people that are down to organize this sort of thing. So yeah, that's, I think, also very cool and special.
Yeah, I was thinking on the way here, like I was looking out like on the bus at Pacific Spirit mm-hmm. and coming in. And it was like, this is the kind of thing that I feel like everybody wants, but like no one is doing. So now mm-hmm. it's like...
Not that we hosted Pacific Spirit.
I was just thinking about the forest in general, as one does.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was thinking, like, in terms of, because you were describing, like, being in a room, like, in BVP, and, like, you were describing all the lights were low and all these things, and thinking about the environment, not to be, like, too, like, in, like, McLuhan-pilled, like, you know, Marshall McLuhan, but, like, in terms of, like, not the media informing the message, but, like, being in the space of being in, like, because in a venue, like, you, there's typical things you expect to happen. Like, yes. You're like, oh, I might, like, you know, give my jacket to, like, to this person. I might have to pay for that. I might, you know, go and get substances from, you know, like, this person. And there's all these things that, you know, you know, that you would expect. Yeah, there's a smoking pit, yeah. And you see people in there. But then having a space in which there's, like, none of those things are there. I mean, I guess you would have to make it yourself, and yeah. So you can kind of, yeah, you could have a very kind of, like, planned performance, or you could have like, you can do an improv in, like, a classic venue where all those things also happen too, but then it really does provide the space where, like, you know, that's, you know, you fill in your own blank there, mm-hmm. because you don't have, like, you know, queuing to get inside, like, scanning tickets, you know, even to pay what you can in DIY, there's still those things happening. So you create a completely new landscape for that.
Yeah. And I think, like, the other important thing too is in any kind of venue that is a more classical, or not classical, sorry, a more classic venue, I think a lot of people will tie expectations to it of how things are supposed to go, because it looks a certain way and people love to associate different things with each other, and that's, yeah, it's an association that people have, I think, and I think on top of that, it can be very difficult to convince people to go out for a more improvisational thing. Not saying that it doesn't happen, it's just I can see that it would be maybe a bit more difficult to market to someone wanting to go to a venue to see a show where it's like, oh, this is going to be a mostly improvised show. Like, it's obviously very interesting still. It's just, I think there's a different set of expectations than if you're just in the middle of the woods and playing something. Like, there's really, like, no expectations of what you're getting.
You can have, like,
if you're showing up, you're showing up to see whatever happens.
Residual, like, muscle memory of, like, not that you're, like, an autopilot, like, going to a gig. But, yeah, you completely, like, smash open, you know, all the expectations. But
yeah, you have no associations with the place at all. Yeah,
your association is like tree, sky, soil, yeah. Worms, you know.
Not music.
Yeah.
You're not thinking, oh, this is the other show that I went to this week was really good.
Music.
But this one, I don't know. Yeah. You're not thinking about any of that. It's a completely different spot.
And you had very different, like, we had very different, from last Noise Pollution to now, I feel like every set is different. And I heard you talking about, like, after the show, about how every set was so different. Like, Elisa's set was very different from, you know, Goats and Lasers, but it still has, like, the ethos of, like,
yeah.
Because it was such a different sonic landscape. But then everyone likes to experience, I feel like, a noise pollution differently. But I really like lying down and, like, staring up, like, at the tree canopy.
No, it's beautiful.
But I'll, like, look at the person setting up. And then, like, once they're set up, I'm like, I put that in my mind so I know what they're doing. And then I look up at the trees. But then just, like, having that consistent visual, but then the sound, I felt like it definitely did. Like, there was, like, a cohesive like sentence running through the whole thing, like a river meandering.
Yeah,
I'm glad that you felt that way, because, like, I think part of, I mean, one, when we you know, think of like what performances we want to see at Noise Pollution, obviously there's a level of, like, limited availability based on, you know, our connections, but I think even, like, beyond that, the main goal is just, like, like what Emerson was touching on earlier, it's more about the mindset and approach to the music than it is the genres themselves, right?
Yeah.
And I feel that everyone that we invite onto the stage is someone that I think we know it, like, views art in this, you know, kind of this, I don't want to say a deeper level. That makes it sound pretentious, but
yeah,
I think in this, like, raw way, maybe? I don't,
like,
know.
In a maybe more willing to accept mistakes way, I guess.
Yeah.
Less perfectionistic way.
Yes, no, 100%.
Which is really important, I think, because people don't get to see that side of people a lot.
Yeah.
And I think, like, the biggest, I guess, almost like the thesis statement of that yesterday, I think, was your set, actually, with, like, everyone going up and sharing very personal things about themselves to this crowd of people that they've probably not met all of before.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure everyone knew someone in the crowd, but, like, you know, you're going up and saying these things to so many people.
Yeah.
And it's incredible that that's something that people felt safe to do. And I think that is entirely because it is that kind of environment where it is allowing mistakes. It is not only allowing, but embracing the opportunity for mistakes in a way that, like, a lot of the times you do not see artists do, I think. Because I think it's really easy as, like, any kind of person creating something to get really fixated on the outcome of it and getting it exactly how you're imagining it, which, like, I'm not saying any of us are not guilty of. I definitely am. Like, I don't feel great about most of the sets that I play, even though I know, like, they sound fine. It's just, like, it doesn't live up to my expectation for myself. But regardless of that, the fact still stands that it is out there now, and that, like, the whole point of the event is to showcase that as it is, without anything, without any kind of going over it, without retouching any of it.
Yeah, because I feel like I've been in a lot of spaces where, I don't know, also, like, because the things shared were, like, extremely personal and deep, I've also likened it to other spaces, like almost like in a group therapy space where the main intention is sharing.
Or, like, a confessional
group
or something.
Yeah, and you almost don't even get to that level, you know? It's, like, because people felt like they weren't primed, and it was just very kind of, like, you know, they were just in the moment and then it was happening. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, someone's like, okay, on Thursday at this time, like, this is what we're doing, and you have to, like, you can share these things. I feel like people might even, you know, hold back, or, like, and then you can rehearse a little bit, even though it's, like,
or
off the cuff
up.
Sharing.
Yeah.
So I've also found that interesting. Like, the intentionality of it is really, the intentionality and improvisation, like, the contrast of those are really beautiful.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think one of my favorite things about noise pollution is just, like, how improvised everything feels. And, like what you were saying, it's kind of like a new thing. And it's, you don't really go in expecting anything, because it's like, oh, they're just, like, setting up some shit in the forest. Like, who knows what's going to happen? And no, but, and, like, people, like, come in with their sets barely rehearsed and they just make stuff up. Like, and it like, I love it's beautiful,
but that's secret sauce.
It turns out the set with the least preparation turned out to be the best one, I think, with Cyrus's.
Thank you.
None of us knew how, like, genius of an idea it was. Then that person just came up and said something serious, and it, like, that was it.
That could have went awful. Like, if they were saying, "Oh man, terrible. I love Chick-fil-A," and that was, like, you know.
No, but that's also, like, that's what you get with those emo monologues. You know?
I think it was perfect. It was
like talking about their Denny's Grand Slam. It's like, yeah, you know,
it was perfect. It was like nighttime, and the lighting was so good. Everything was so good. I felt it was super lucky. Do you remember?
Definitely gratitude.
Do you remember what you were supposed to say?
What do you mean? What was I supposed to say?
You were
I'm going to the
go
microphone?
Up and ask if anyone had a beer.
I was going to do the thing that's like 10 reasons why beer is better than women. But I was like, I was like, okay, this is really serious. I'm not doing this anymore.
After, like, the
I
second one.
Yeah, that's what I was like. That was the first thing I thought of.
One thing I felt really bad about, I guess, maybe, I don't know if context, I feel like, just, like, people listening probably have enough context as to what happened, but just so we're all on the same page, like, basically last night I was doing, like, a improvised set, and midway through, you know, I got some nice sort of emo chords, right? Something Midwest emo, or even maybe Fifth Wave, and you know, the same way that you'd see those monologues or, you know, dialogues, samples from movies placed in, you know, trying to do that in person and having people come up and, you know, just say whatever's on their mind. And, you know, like Emerson pointed out, it started getting pretty fucking real and pretty raw, to the point where it was heavy. Like, I'm still
thinking
back.
Lot of it also was just, like, a lot of appreciation and love
true
for people.
Yeah,
like, it was
no.
a really I think it was a good mix of everything.
Yeah,
it was just like, I think it was really representative of, like, such a wide range of feelings that people could have about any given situation.
True.
Which was, I think, the most human part of it.
That's so true. I completely agree with you. I was about to say that, actually.
You know what my favorite noise is? The sound of the microphone stand squeaking every time
it,
we have to
I
switch.
I really like it.
Do you guys hear that? Like, does that get picked up when you...
Yes. But oh, wow. I love awesome. Everything about CITR.
Okay.
I never
so
have
all
any
my creaks
complaints.
And shit.
I
this
love
is fully
this
intentional.
This is the best place on earth. There's, like, just... I have no complaints about
this
anything
art.
Ever. I love Studio A. I love how everything's always working, and it's really good. I wanted to ask if you recorded any of the sets last night or any raw. Yeah,
we recorded all of them. Actually.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, well, I can play it at a later date, or we can revisit them. Or
they're just voice memos right now. They're okay, not, so like they might sound awful. They might sound amazing.
We'll give them a listen and then.
Yeah. No, we can revisit that. We can revisit it. Yeah.
I actually recorded mine directly onto my laptop, so I'm gonna be like mixing it and stuff, and I'll probably put it on Spotify. So watch out for that, guys.
Yes, definitely. Yay. But we're gonna play some Message Received on a good note. We're gonna play some music that was performed last night, but like this is like released music from the artist who performed at Noise Pollution. And we will revisit the Noise Pollution set of last night at a later date on CITR. So keep your hearts open and your ears tuned, as always. But up next, we have Video Store Girl by Lauren Kay, and then Winged Creatures by Message Received, and then maybe a few other Message Received songs, and then you will hear our lovely voices again. But for now, we shall stop talking, and we're going to be quiet so you can listen and enjoy, but always stay tuned to CITR 101.9 FM.
Thank you. Testament.
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. Remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What's this Pilate? He fiddled while...
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. 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 Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
Thank you. throw it all away. Just to hear it for a day. Do you love it? 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 I don't live inside time. Around, around my head, around my body, around the torture chamber lobby. I don't love it, I don't love it, I don't love it. Oh, do you love me? Do you love me the way you used to? Do you look into my eyes the way you used to? You don't love me, you don't love me the way you used to, the way you used to, the way. My style is my imagination to see the beauty in my creation, to see the synth under the sound. All the noise can drown it out. Do you love it? Do you love it?
Hello, 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 so-called Vancouver, but really you're not, because we are broadcasting on the unceded, ancestral, and otherwise stolen and shared lands of the Honka Maiden-speaking Musqueam peoples, which is also where noise complaint does their fun little shows. Noise Complaint is another show on CITR that ICEA does, where we have bands come in and play. But I was just thinking, I got psychologically primed because it just takes place over there. So I was keep thinking of Noise Complaint. But yes, Noise Pollution.
Stole their name.
Oopsie.
Wow. So many noises in this world. That's
incoming
incredible.
Lawsuit. Beautiful.
Incoming, yeah. 10, 9, 8. what you just heard was Surprise Visit by Message Received, who is joined in Studio A with us.
Hello.
Coming to you hot and live. Maybe live from Tapas Trelepathy album.
Yeah.
But we can do a live performance soon if you want. Do you want to talk about Surprise Visit and the album?
Oh man.
Or no. You can just say no. But if you want.
About it. That song was pretty crazy. Most tracks on the album, I think, because I had so many samples and I spent so much time, like, getting all the sound right and compressing everything because all the samples were so messed up. I had no idea what to do with them. And then I was like, what if I don't have, like, any, like, bass notes for most of the song or any drums, like kick and snare drums? And that's where the whole idea came from. The whole album took, like, 2 years to make, and I think the first two tracks were the first songs I made for the album, and I saw everything follow from that. I worked on it.
How would you say, like, your approach for noise pollution is with, like, bowing the guitar and those kinds of, like, because I feel like this is more digital. You do, like, DAW, you're a DAW warrior. Being a DAW warrior to being, like, a guitar warrior in the forest is kind of a different translation.
It is. Well, after I made the album, I kind of felt done with Message Received for a while because I was like, oh, this was like the thing I've been working on for like years now, and like the idea is finished, and I don't know where to take this like artist anymore. Then I like came into Noise Pollution like last time and this time. And it was a lot of improvised guitar stuff. It was more loose, more improvised, as I said. And it's like, I'm starting to explore that direction more, more like recorded instruments, more live looping and stuff. Yeah, because when I was making all my music before, a lot of it was samples, a lot of it was editing, a lot of it took place in the DAW. And then, you know, suddenly you're put in a place where you don't have time to edit anything. You're making everything on the fly. And it's such a, like, refreshing. It was such a refreshing thing for me. And now I'm like, okay, maybe this is something I can, like, really dive into and do something with.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice to hear about the evolution of message received. How would you think Noise Pollution is going to evolve, going from I went last year and then I went last night? What can the dear listeners look out for?
Probably more people.
Yes, more growing people. We like growth,
hopefully. Mm-hmm. Bigger artists.
I mean I actually don't really feel like, you know, artist size particularly matters. Like, I mean, yeah, there's definitely some bigger names in Vancouver, but there's also people like myself who, like, yeah, this is my second official show, right? And I think that the beauty of it is that this space doesn't need to have some sort of, like, like, bar in terms of, you know, like, the how, I don't want to say prestige, but, you know, that sort of that name that comes with it, right? It is supposed to be sort of that raw, unfiltered space. That being said, I do think that, you know, growth-wise, I don't want to say it's perfect. I think there's definitely room for improvement, but like, that stuff is not something that we consciously think about.
I feel like it's almost secondary. I feel like the growth is not the main thing, because I think the main thing is giving people a space to do that, and making sure that there's, like, you know, the ability to show up and improvise something. And, you know, I think a big thing that I really enjoy about it is that it is, like, a lot of smaller artists or a lot of people who have maybe never even, like, played a set before have played there. And, like, I think that's really, like, a big part of what makes it so special. And, yeah.
I mean, like, even last night, like, we saw 10 Million Mosquitoes. They made their debut there, right? And I think they had, like, you know, such a, you know, powerful and happy set near the end, right? And that was, like, I think that was only sort of possible based on the space and the vibe that, you know, we curated. So I don't think we're the ones that will bring the evolution directly in terms of, like, content, right? But just doing our best to make, you know, these all these different types of shows possible, right?
That's I feel like the main thing that, like, ties it together, if anything, is, like, the values underneath everything. And I think that's going to stay pretty consistent as, like, a, oh, this is a space to make weird noises and hang out as people and, you know, see each other in a very unfiltered form and be vulnerable in a lot of ways. And I think that's, like, the core essence in a lot of ways that will stay consistent. And whatever grows from that is dependent on who joins and, you know, who shows up.
Yeah, to have the ethos be a vehicle, like, you know, to move people forward. Like, you know, like the cat bus from Totoro?
Yeah.
100%. It's like, Noise Pollution is like,
like
a kind of a vehicle that you can, like, you know, move forward in.
I don't know. Have you ever, I don't know if any of you guys have seen this movie, but All About Lily Choo Choo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Noise Pollution to me is the ether, right? Yeah. I mean, that's just,
that's kind of scary, but that's cool.
Yeah. Or even, like, you know, The Wired and, like, Serial Experiments and stuff like that. If, you know,
oh, no. No, we can't get lane pills. We're getting lane pills.
Yeah. This is the true self.
You know? For me, it reminds me a lot of, like, a movie called Mirror Mask that I used to watch a lot with my mom. Not necessarily in, like, the musical sense, because I think, well, I mean, I could definitely see, like, that type of music also being played, like, the similar type of music as a soundtrack, because there's a lot of, like, ambient sort of droney bits, but there's also, like, a lot of jazzy bits, but, like, I don't know, it's mixed in. But regardless, like, I think what reminds me of that a lot is, I guess, the idea that there are different ways of interacting with people, and some of those require a lot more performance than others, and there's a lot of different ways to perform. Not every performance is the same sort of thing, and not every performance is dishonest either, because I think the sort of performance that we're doing there is very honest in a different way than most people are used to hearing honesty.
For sure. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Like the concept of musical honesty, that's really interesting to me. Because I would feel like that's almost like a, not a double negative, but like what would spaces, I'm trying to think of like artists that I've seen where I'm like, oh, this is a dishonest performance. Or
I don't think it's necessarily being dishonest or not. Yeah. I think it's just like, because my point wasn't necessarily that there's like a dichotomy between the two. It's more so like the format of yesterday or like of noise pollution in general is a different kind of honesty than what people are used to hearing. Yeah. Not necessarily that others are dishonest.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's my black and white. I have black and white. Yeah. I'm like, if it's not this, it's that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, I can see like a the relationship between those.
Yeah,
things.
It's just a different context than what people are used to, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I think like you know, sometimes having, you know, maybe more structured or, you know, the sets that you're probably used to when you go to a show, those kind of sets are definitely trying to, they like, you go in with a certain mindset of what the end goal is and what is like the emotion or vibe that you want to set out, right? And then you do everything in your power to sort of perfect that image that is, you know, maybe a little bit external to the self. I mean, it's definitely inspired and built by the self, right? But it exists, you know, sort of as a concept that is, you know, requires some precision and requires some perfection. Yeah. Whereas I think the concept of what we, like a lot of the noise pollution artists try to evoke is that concept is much closer to
like perfecting the expression itself. Maybe.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's not so, I know that sounds kind of corny. It's like, it's not about the end product and stuff like that, but it 100% is.
And that's two different ways of doing music. And that's like,
yeah, there's not, know, it's not like one's better
than
the other.
It's just like
right?
One is very common and the other one is less common right now.
Yeah.
So I think that's like mainly the distinction. It's just, in a, again, different context than when people are used to seeing it.
Yeah, it's almost like forging.
Yeah.
Like an audio forging. Yeah, because you were talking about audio pollination earlier too. Mm-hmm. But that's like also another improv-based thing that they have. But yeah, these names are all like...
The audio names pollination, are, yeah, noise pollution.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like intersecting elements to that.
Or but a lack like, of creativity in Vancouver.
No, but the idea of pollinating things and the idea of like... I know because
it's very
people,
social,
people have a really like okay, I just like derogatory and semantics like derogatory relationship to the idea of pollution. That's why I like asking about your favorite type of pollution because I was thinking about like you know when people do like gardening bombs and they throw like seeds. There's like this kind of idea where you can like oh my god, not like slur reclaiming but like you can reclaim reclaim pollution and kind of like have a different relationship to this thing where you can go out and into the world and you don't have to
I mean it absolutely rigidity. Is like noise pollution because we are like past the technically the time that is allowed to be loud outside I mean it's in a gray area but regardless, like it is by a technicality still that, but I think, you know, not every form of pollution is equal.
Yeah, because there's like there's a legal phrase, the right to quiet enjoyment, and I was living on a building near in Uni Village. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the name of the building, but they were like, our neighbor called the police and said that there was like a domestic violence in our thing. We were just having dinner and she called and said like there was, I was like, oh, you're going to like, oh, no, I'm going to go to massive tangent about this. But basically I was like, it's ridiculous that they can misuse police services to do that. But they were like, oh no, she has a right to quiet enjoyment. But this is interesting, like legal protections around quiet, polite, in like
keeping
what
to yourself
quiet what about like noise enjoyment like what is quiet enjoyment and that That's was like so legally true. Protected even though
I think people really like the idea of like having control over their environment in as many ways as they can and I think like as much as that is like valuable in a lot of ways and it's obviously like very good to be able to like regulate yourself in lots of ways with that but I think at the same time sometimes it errs into a territory where it's like preventing people from building up that tolerance to be human with each other. And I think that's like mainly where my disagreement comes in with that sort of thing.
And this stuff can coexist too, right? Like, I mean, you see last night, right? I feel like a big emphasis also when we're setting it up, when we're telling people to come in, is like, be respectful of the space, you know. Mm-hmm. And like, I think, you know, events like this, I mean, obviously you can go into the, you know, deep questions on, you know, if this or that specific thing was more optimized to be better, you know, for the space. But like, I think this event existing doesn't necessarily, you know, violate anyone's, you know, right to silence, right?
And I mean, we do take a lot of care in picking the locations in an area where it's not going to be disruptive for people as much as possible.
And the nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never felt like it was disruptive too. I felt connected and whole.
Yeah, it's so nice just digging your hands into the dirt when, you know, you're hearing the sets. Like, I kind of gross, but I haven't washed my hands deeply like since last night, and I still have dirt in my nails, but
it's good for you. You can like it's like helps your like gut microbiome
allegedly.
Also to like
I'm avoiding these peanut allergies.
Yeah, it's good to eat dirt. Yeah.
The allergy theory. Do you guys know that one?
Which one?
The allergy theory.
Is it that you need to be exposed to the stuff too?
Yes.
Like
like
is that
vaccine?
Even a theory?
Yeah,
I think this is like
allergens. I heard it was a theory. Is it not? Is
but
it
then like, does that need to be when you're like your mother is pregnant?
No, apparently it works like when you're an adult too.
Really?
Yeah, just like a lot slower than when you're a kid. That's what I've heard.
Wow.
I think it also depends on the allergen itself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Some allergies, I think.
I've definitely heard of people overcoming at least lactose intolerances.
That and peanut
with
allergies.
Like, yeah. And I also wonder how much of that's like gut microbiome. Wow, we're turning into like a fucking Joe Rogan right here, you know? Like
biology podcast.
You know, like Goop, like what's her name? The blonde fucking white woman. What's her
Gwyneth
name?
That's a lot of
the blonde white woman. Yeah.
We are not licensed to give medical advice.
Please look this up. Ask your
disclaimer,
doctor.
Disclaimer.
We just like playing in the dirt.
We are not.
That's all we can say.
We're just like dirty little guys in the dirt.
We're not medical professionals. We are too silly to be medical professionals.
Yes, that's why we're doing this.
That's why we're doing noise pollution instead of being doctors.
Exactly.
Zooey,
this is the doctor shortage.
Zooey mama. Let's talk about 10 million mosquitoes set towards the end of the night.
They were crazy, dog.
That was wild. I was not expecting that, and I'm so happy.
Yeah,
that
was exactly
no
like what the
rehearsals
are like.
Yeah, it was like kind of like a folk punk adjacent, but then it's less punky and more folky. But then it still had that kind of like...
It was like almost bluesy.
Yeah. With the kazoo and harmonica.
It's like blues too. You guys made blues too.
Wow. That's incredible.
Sequel.
Yeah.
Blues the sequel. I never thought we'd get there.
I mean, it's like really interesting because like all of these people are people that I've like jammed with in different settings before. And I actually didn't know that I was going to be joining their band until like 3 days before the event or like
that's noise
five
pollution.
Days or something.
Was
that
a similar timeline for other people in the band?
In, like, the rest of the set?
Yeah.
Oh, no, the rest of the set, we already had, like, contacted artists, like, broadly. It's just, like, usually we contact an artist, and then sometimes they, like, recruit other people for their set. And that's kind of what happened in this case with Willow reaching out to the rest of the mosquitoes and also me and being like, hey, join this. And I guess, like, now I'm part of that band as of, like, a week ago. but, yeah, or, like, I don't know, a few days ago, a week ago, regardless. It was very cool. And, like, I think it's really interesting to see how people can just, like, make shit up on the spot with other people, especially, like, words and stuff. Like, I'm fascinated by people who can just, like, make up words to say to music, you know? Like, I can't even really write lyrics. So Liam just, like, going up there and just, like, saying things is incredible.
Cheese heroin. Oh, wait.
Liam's my hero.
Or heroin. I think it was cheese heroin.
Cheese heroin.
Cheese heroin. That was crazy.
It's cheese like the dairy product, right?
Is
that like just said?
I have no idea what the lore
I think
of that
it was,
one
was like cheese has heroin or something.
Well,
lactose does actually like make you, I think, release opiates and like or endogenous opiates.
Wow, going back to the Joe Rogan experience.
I learned this shit in my neuro class. I promise. Yeah, like lactose makes you do things. It makes you feel happy. It makes you feel less in pain. Eat cheese.
I need some milk. Then I need some milk. Right.
What about soy? What do we have to say about soy?
High in protein. I don't know. It tastes
what is
good.
Soy?
a bean.
Oh.
A legume.
Cool. That's good to know.
You can blend it and strain it, and then you get soy milk.
Oh. Do you guys, do you know how almond milk is made? They like...
That's what I feel like it's called a nut bag.
This is wild that we're just like... Sorry about that.
Noise pollution.
Noise pollution, everyone.
Okay, yeah.
We love our legumes.
If you could... If you could... Not... Because it's always the question, but like, if you could collaborate with anybody, like, who would you collaborate? But then to the point of... Like getting together to perform so like close to doing a show is like again with the kind of improvisational ethos. What like if you were given any instrument like right now and you could have access to like any studio or any instrument or like any like where would you play and what would you do, and what do you think it would sound like?
Maybe this is a basic answer. But I don't really know how to play the piano, and I think just piano in the woods would be amazing. I know they, you know, Electric Forest, they do this, like, with the organs, but there's this artist from Japan called, I think, Masakatsu Takagi, and they just do, like, they live in, like, I think Kobe, and they just, like, are in the mountains, and they just play piano with their baby in their lap, and it's, like, that's, like, one of the most beautiful things with, like, the rain outside and whatnot, and... It makes me so, like, I badly just want to move to the countryside and play piano with nature, even though I've never, I don't know how to play piano.
Fair enough.
And I'm
that
a
makes
city
it
boy.
More fun.
Yeah.
I was going to say I would want a Moog synthesizer.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
So badly.
Yeah.
And just, like, generally access to, like, a studio with a Moog synthesizer and, like, my current equipment. That's what I would want.
If we're saying anything, I'd probably... like try to play something with like a giant wall of what's it called, modular synths.
Yes.
Then I'd have a guitar.
You'd also have to be a millionaire.
This is all hypothetical.
I guess that's the beauty of
then I'd have like a bunch of pedals that are extremely rare and make like disgusting sounds. Probably playing like, wouldn't it be really funny if it was like in an office?
That would be fun.
That would be pretty funny, I think. Yeah, that sounds like fun. Noise pollution 3 office.
Yeah.
Sounds like an office siren. Corporate. Like you can do like no, that's like normiecore. That's like a like true. Taking a page from their playbook of normiecore. Yeah. Then who would you have produce?
Who would produce it? Wow. Ooh. Do they have to be alive?
No. It can be anyone.
Probably Frank Zappa. Because he produced,
that's a good one.
Trout Mask Replica. He'd probably be like,
he's good as fuck.
Yeah, he'd probably like give me crazy ideas and make everything much weirder, which is good.
Yeah, what I was thinking of too was like, do you know the album Sleep Dirt?
No.
You should listen to it.
Okay.
Yeah, because that I think is like such a good representation of like the type of music I would like to make one day.
Sleep Dirt.
That and like Timeless by John Abercrombie, but that's not Frank Zappa. So, yeah.
I will listen. I'll listen to that. But yeah, crazy stuff like that. Or alternatively, I could probably, you know, like sheet music. It's like get a toothbrush, dip it in ink, you know, like the thing with the toothbrush, you like run your fingers through the bristles and it sprays it everywhere.
Yeah, and then see where it lands.
Do that. I'd give it to like an 8-piece prog rock band and I'd just say, go do that. Good luck. That would be funny.
Be fun,
I need that. Yeah. I actually need that right now. I think that would cure me if I could listen to that. I think I would like to play some Goats and Lasers as well as some sounds that Willow has recorded. There's some interesting things in here, like aquamarine with white pokey dots and pink glitter in the air. Smells like raspberry leaves.
It's a very Willow name.
So that is up next on CITR 101.9 FM.
Thank you. Thank you. Unseated airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM at doo-doo-loo-doo, doo-doo.
We have been called the Indians.
Justified in opening fire that day. Amy Allen has more.
The virus took on many shapes. The bear, the elk, the antelope.
Hosted by the Indigenous Collective of CITR 101.9 FM, Unceded Airwaves unveils the hidden pages of Indigenous history and contemporary existence. We are back and looking for passionate folks to contribute to the process of putting together our weekly radio show. Our community centers Indigenous joy, excellence, and current issues. Friends and allies are welcome. No experience is necessary. Come learn with us. Our Instagram is Unceded Airwaves, and that's the best way to keep up with us. If you're interested in getting involved or you have any questions, email me, indigenouscollective@citr.ca.
In the context of Vancouver's opioid crisis, CITR would like to take a moment to share some harm reduction strategies.
Try not to do drugs alone. When going out, let friends know what drugs you're taking and make sure someone has an naloxone kit. If you're able to, get your drugs tested before taking them.
Avoid mixing opioids with alcohol or stimulants. Remember that opioids can include painkillers prescribed by a doctor, and it's possible for any drugs to be contaminated with opioids.
Learn the signs of opioid overdose, which include, but are not limited to, unresponsiveness or unconsciousness, inability to speak, breathing that is slow, erratic, or has stopped completely, heartbeat that is slow, erratic, or has stopped completely, skin tone that has turned blue or gray, choking or gurgling sounds.
If you think someone is overdosing, call 911 immediately. Start rescue breathing and administer naloxone if you have it. You cannot get in trouble for being on drugs, so always call 911 in an emergency.
For more information about naloxone kits and training, visit towardtheheart.com.
Thank you and stay safe.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.